إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we talked about ailments and cures, and yesterday I mentioned the ailments that I believe that we are afflicted with: a sense of entitlement, cherry picking of history, and a completely illogical belief in magic, that somehow things will happen for us in different ways because we are Muslims. Now, what is the cure for this? The cures, and especially our so-called leaders, need to listen to this and to understand this. And I'm saying that because if the Ummah today was in a state that was the opposite of what we are in, if we had been people who were highly influential in the world, if we were people who were not irrelevant at all, then the same leaders would have claimed that this is because of their leadership. And that would be true. If we had been highly successful, definitely our leaders would have been responsible for that, and that would be highly credible. The question, of course, is that since that is not the case, since the case is the opposite, who is responsible? The same leaders. Because how can you be responsible for success and not be responsible for the failure if you are the leader of the community? So at whatever level our leaders are, unless those leaders have stood up, and unless they have challenged status quo, unless they have asked questions, unless they have opted to take positions which make them unpopular, they are not free from this blame. They are to blame. They are the reason why this Ummah is in this mess. Having said that, therefore, what must be done? I think there are two or three very critical things. The first and foremost thing to do is to understand the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the laws of success and failure. And these laws are as immutable as the laws of physics, which also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. The law of gravity does not change for the Muslim. The law of thermodynamics does not change for the Muslim. The law of aerodynamics does not change for the Muslim. A Muslim will be afflicted by virus just like a non-Muslim. A Muslim, if he falls down, will be hurt just like a non-Muslim. A Muslim also feels hungry. A Muslim also feels sleepy. A Muslim also needs sleep. All of these laws, whether they are physical laws as applied to an individual, or they are what are otherwise called laws of nature or laws of physics, all of these are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, and they apply equally to a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Exactly in the same way, the laws of success and failure also apply exactly the same way to a Muslim and non-Muslim. The dalil for this in the Quran is in Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah said, there is nothing for a man except that which he works for. This applies in the Akhirah, and it applies also in the dunya. So two things are very clear in this, which is that we have to work for what we want. It won't fall into your lap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds the bird, but not in the nest. The quote of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, a bird leaves the nest in the morning with an empty stomach and comes back in the evening with a full stomach. Where did it fill the stomach? Not in the nest, somewhere else. Allah provided, but did not provide in the nest. So if the bird wants to sit in the nest and open its beak and say, put something inside, it won't come. This is not the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which applies to everyone, is وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْ Insani. Allah did not say, وَأَلَّيْ سَلِلْ مُشْرِكْ وَالْكَافِرْ وَالْ... No. Allah did not say it applies to only... No. وَأَلَّيْ سَلِلْ إِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعْ. Whether that insan is Muslim or not Muslim makes no difference. For a human being, there is only what the person works for. If you look at... So first and foremost is to understand this, that the world is run on the basis of principles that Allah created equal to everybody. And secondly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and specifically said this, that if you want something, you have to work for it. Whether that thing you want is spiritual, we have stopped working in every respect. We want connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without zuhud. You don't want to pray nawafil, you don't want to fast, you don't want to give charity, you don't want to make any effort, but you want the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you raise your hand and the malaika will descend. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. The people for whom the malaika descended did a lot of hard work before they came to that stage. We want the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by sitting around in our homes and living our lives, and I want to be a wali Allah. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. The doors of the wilayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not shut, but there are conditions. So whether it is spiritual success, whether it is material success, you want money, you want wealth, you have to work for it. Right? Whether it is physical fitness, whether it is success in a marriage, whether it is success in bringing up of children, whatever the form of that success, we have to work for it. There is no other way than working for it. Right? Even if you want to go and do Hajj, as the result of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He forgives all sins, you have to go through the arkan of Hajj. You cannot just imagine Hajj and it happens. No, it doesn't happen. You have to go and you have to put up with all the tough time of that Hajj in order to get the reward of Hajj. So whether it is religious or whether it is material, first thing to understand is this. This sounds like a dumb statement. We are all supposed to know this, but we don't act as if we know this. We Muslims look for benefit without working for it. So that's the first and foremost laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immutable. You have to work to get what you want. Second thing also to support this is to look at history itself and say, whoever is in whichever position, how did they get there? Today we like to say, okay, the Jews are running the world. That's true. But did it happen by magic? Did it happen by the Jews just sitting on their backsides and doing nothing? No. It happened as a result of 300 years of work. It has happened as a result of maybe two generations going into the ground. We talk about how Japan is highly developed after the Second World War. We forgot how they became developed. Think about what the Japanese did. How did Japan come? It was leveled after the Second World War. How did Japan get to where it got? So read some history. Whether it's personal history, whether it is the history of people, we need to read. And third and very important thing is the willingness to face facts. Go and look in the mirror. I don't mean that personally, but I mean, or maybe even personally, but I'm definitely as an Ummah. Look in the mirror. What is the mirror telling you? Right? What is the mirror telling you? So we need to face facts and accept the fact that we are wrong. We have to accept the fact that we have not been doing things the way we should be doing. Just to take one small piece, take how we teach the Quran. We teach the Quran, by and large, I'm not saying everybody does it, but the vast majority of people, and this methodology is supported by people who should have been speaking against it. We teach the Quran without teaching the meaning of what we are reading. We make no effort. The entire life of the person goes in teaching and learning without understanding the meaning of the Quran. And then you want to tell me that we are not getting the benefit from the Quran. How will you get the benefit from the Quran? Yeah? We read the Quran like most Indians sing the national anthem in this country. You don't understand what you're saying, you're just making a noise. And that's exactly what's happening with the Quran. You're just making a noise. I'm not talking about the sawab and will I get sawab if I recite without understanding? Of course you will get sawab. You will get sawab even if you look at the Quran. But did the Quran come for that? Go and take a good look every day and go home? No. So this is what we do. Our teaching and learning is like this. And that's only one aspect. And I can list a number of, I don't want to go into a whole list, but I'm giving you this just as a flag to say that this is what we do with what should have been the most critical and important thing in our lives. So the issue of getting serious with ourselves and looking at ourselves and saying, what am I doing? Same thing with Islam. Islam is a practice. I've said this a million times. Islam is not a theory, it's not a theology, it's a practice. We actually have to practice. Somebody asked me a question. They said, why is it that spirituality seems to be, we live in two compartments. There's a very material life, and we want to be spiritual. We are never spiritual. We can't become spiritual, and we have difficulties. Why is that? I said, for the same reason why somebody would say that I'm trying to learn judo or karate and I'm not able to do it. Because there is a threshold that you have to cross. Any practice does not come, you don't become an expert at it on day one. There's a threshold that you have to cross. And that getting to the threshold is painful. Any practice, if it's martial arts, you have to fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall before you learn the moves, before you learn the what you need to do. Take typing, for example. If you want to develop your typing speed, you have to type and type and type and type and type. What else is there? Tell me, what else is the method? Any practice. Cycling, how do you learn cycling? Not by watching a video on cycling or reading a book on cycling. You have to get out for a cycle. And you will fall down and you will hurt yourself and you get back on again and on and so on and so on. And then eventually you learn how to cycle. Take any practice. Practice needs practice. You have to do it in order to become perfect. Same thing with spirituality and same thing with Islam. You want to connect with, you want to get khushu in salah, you have to make salah and salah and salah and salah and salah until you get khushu. So every time you lose khushu, repeat the salah. Repeat it until you get khushu. It takes time, it takes effort. And the same thing applies in life. So the third thing is to get prepared, look in the mirror, face the fact that we are wrong, accept feedback and change. And then the issue of last two things, the issue which I just mentioned, which is of hard work, systematic hard work. And the final and probably the most important one is that of quality. Because unless we are focused and we are completely, dogmatically uncompromising about quality, you will not get quality. And unless you get quality, effort is useless and wasted. And if there is one thing which characterizes our effort, collectively speaking, as Muslims, it is lack of quality. Like somebody said, you will not learn how to get to the moon by watching somebody else's rocket. You have to learn how to make a rocket. Yeah, if you look at the other rocket, wah, 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 mashallah, mashallah, you don't get to the moon. You have to learn how to do it. How do you learn? By making a lot of effort and not compromising on quality. See the standard that Rasulullah said when he was asked about quality. In the Hadith Jibreel, what is the question on Ihsan? What is Ihsan? Ihsan is quality. Excellence. What standard did he put? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, worship Allah as if you are seeing Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What is a higher standard of quality than that? And as I always say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used Salah as an example for the rest of life. It's not only, the example is not related to Salah. It is related to Salah, but not alone to Salah. So the same thing applies across the world. How do we define ourselves? Our quality defines ourselves. We are a nation of excuse makers, net exporters of blame and excuse makers. Whatever happens to me is somebody else's fault. And when I, nail up, I can't use the other term, then I have to make an excuse. So first you don't deliver, then you waste my time telling me why you could not deliver. Who cares? I don't care. I mean, if you didn't give me, I am your customer, you did not give me what I needed at the quality that I needed. And now you want me to also listen to some nonsensical explanation about why that happened. I'm not interested. That would be very stupid. Why should I be interested in the explanation? So quality, focus on quality is the thing which drives all good work. So I think if we can do this, and please understand, you would have noticed I'm not talking about some great things about how to rule the world. Forget all that. Unless we take these first baby steps, there is no rule any world. You can't even rule your own house. Today we are in a situation where we can't even rule ourselves. We cannot even make the Sharia apply on our own body. And you want to talk about tahaffuz of Sharia. How will you protect the Sharia when you don't even practice the Sharia yourself? So seriously, I think this is something we need to get real about and make sure that we do what we need to do. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.